This is the Actors Diet Podcast. I'm Lynn Chen, an actor and body image activist.
And I'm Christy Myers, an actor and holistic health counselor. And this is a show where we explore what we are feeding our bodies, our minds, and our souls. Okay, so let's start with a quick catch-up, shall we?
Let's do it. Okay, Tell me how your holiday was.
My holiday was really good. We were here at home just enjoying time with friends and family. And my mom came into town.
Oh, so soup. There was soup made.
There was chicken noodles. Chicken and noodles. And she did make it. I asked her to make it and she made it. And I did
was
not
it
help.
Amazing?
It was amazing. It was so good. It was just as comforting as I remember it. And she once again told me this is super easy. There really isn't a recipe.
Okay, tell us the no recipe.
Okay, so she took chicken wings and chicken like drumsticks, right? Uh-huh. You put them in a pot with water over them and you basically boil them, but for a long period of time, like kind of slow boil them all day, like simmer them all day. Right. And then you take them out and you take out the, salt and pepper, lots of salt and pepper. And then you take off the meat. You have to boil it, she said, with the skin on. If you don't boil it with the skin on, then it will be too thin and it won't be that good. So boil it with the skin on and then take it out, take the skin off and the meat and the bones and everything, take that all apart. And then you separately, right? This is why I never do it myself. I think you separately make the egg noodles. No, maybe you make the egg noodles in the broth.
Uh-oh. I think maybe this is important because that determines A, how easy cleanup is if you have less pots to wash, but also how thick it gets, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, Christy.
I know it's bad.
Most important step.
The most important step I've forgotten now. Okay, so what I would do if I was making it again is I would probably boil the noodles separately and then I would add the meat in the noodles with some of the chicken stock.
That's a firmer noodle.
It's a firmer noodle and not as like, it's not going to be as much like soup. I guess if you wanted it more like soup, you would just put the egg noodles into the broth and then add water. But I don't want it that way. I want it to be like kind of mostly noodles and chicken, but with that great flavor. So
no other herbs?
No, that's it. Just salt and
veggies?
Pepper.
No veggies? No mirepoix? No.
Nothing.
Sage bouquet garni?
Nope. Just real simple. I mean, you can add all those things. I definitely have some veggies on the side, but this is just very simple.
Away.
Chicken and noodles. That's it.
Chicken, noodles, the end.
Broth.
And water. Salt
and pepper. That's right. That's it.
But, I love it.
The middle step I'm still unclear about. So I'll see if I can figure that out.
I'm going to have to get back to you on that again. Just this is going to be the never-ending catch-up.
The never-ending chicken noodle catch-up.
Well, I will tell you that over the break, I obtained the ginger chews, as we know.
Oh, yes.
From our last episode, I got them from Trader Joe's.
Yes.
And I just went about my life thinking that, you know, they were just going to be in stock again. No need to worry. Mm-hmm. But when I got back from my little break, which we will talk about after this because it's going to bleed into the topic. When I got back and I was doing my Trader Joe's run, they were out again. And I had deja vu to this conversation that we were having. And I was like, oh, I definitely bought enough, but I obviously didn't because they were out. And then we went to another one and they were out. I know we're just repeating exactly what we said the last episode. Christy still doesn't know the recipe for sure. Lynn still doesn't have ginger chews. But this is like important. This is important. I feel like they were out and they told me they wouldn't be back in stock until the end of the month. And I was just like, what is going on? Did like everyone buy them? Because they were back in stock. I only bought half of that case.
Yeah. You should have bought the whole case.
Do they only have one case?
Yeah. That's
like, what happened? So I'm very upset about that. And that's the only catch up I care to share. But also I want to. Sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to say that I did go and buy 2 bags of ginger chews for you.
Oh,
in the case
that'll last me
like a day. But I figured that would give you a day to travel to every Trader Joe's. I just wanted to have them just in case I should have just bought a whole case.
I appreciate that. Yes. And in the future, mm-hmm. could you please buy at least 10? Okay. At least 10, because you know it's not going to waste.
Okay. Okay.
And oh my gosh. So anyway, yes, that's the update about that. But it does lead us into the topic that we are going to be discussing.
Oh, I'm excited.
Because I did want to share a little bit more about what I did over the break.
Okay.
It wasn't really a break. Over the holiday. It's not like we took a break. we only post once a month. So it's not like it was a actual break for anyone who's listening to the podcast. But it was a break for us. So basically over the holiday, Abe and I went to Dollywood.
Oh,
which
right.
is Dolly Parton's theme park.
Yay.
In Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And it is a 3-hour drive from Nashville, where we flew into.
Mm-hmm.
So not exactly easy to get to. But that's mm-hmm. not the point. That's not the point of today's topic.
Okay.
The point of today's topic correlates with that trip and also a trip I'm about to have coming up very soon next week to Disney World. Mm-hmm. I'm going with my brother and his 5 children.
Mm-hmm.
I say children, but one of them's a full-on adult. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I have celiac. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about theme park food.
Oh, boy.
And that's the theme park food. Okay. I did, since I got to choose this week, I did think for a split second, it's January, maybe we should talk about resolutions and like how to, no. And then I was like, no, I want to talk about theme park food. So maybe not the topic everyone was thinking about for January for the Actors Diet podcast, but that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Selfishly, because I also am I'm thinking about like what I ate during that trip.
Right.
And what, like, I'm about to go eat and what, you know, theme park food means to people. Because for some people, mm-hmm. the theme park food is as much about the experience as the rides,
mm-hmm.
which,
mm-hmm.
by the way, I'm unable to ride anymore because I cannot handle or stomach these things.
Did you get really motion sickness?
I did not even try.
Really?
Because I was afraid. Well, first of all, we were traveling with my goddaughter who is 3 years old.
Right.
So no roller coasters for her no matter what.
Yes.
But also because I realized a while ago that I don't like roller coasters anymore. Right. I used to love them, but I don't like the feeling of them anymore. It's just way too much anxiety. I don't enjoy the feeling. And I don't do anything I don't enjoy anymore now that I'm a full-grown woman. I'm not peer pressured into anything anymore. So there's that. But then I actually have found out from Universal Studios, where they love them a 3D ride, mm-hmm. that I get quite motion sickened.
Yeah.
I do too now. From riding them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I'm going to test out with Disney, because I know they have a few 3D rides. Mm-hmm. I bought myself some Dramamine.
Mm.
Non-drowsy. Not even, no, sorry. It's called Dramamine less drowsy. Now, they do have a Dramamine non-drowsy, which is like basically just ginger. And I was like, I don't trust that.
Yeah.
I don't trust ginger. We know how I feel about ginger, but I guess it does all come back to ginger juice.
You prefer your ginger in chew form.
I prefer them in chew form, and I know they don't do shit, okay? I know they don't do shit when it comes to preventing motion sickness or nausea, okay? So let's just say, like, I have enough ginger in my system. It's not going to do anything. So
what about those bands?
I have the C bands also. I'm going to use both. I'm going to use both this time. We're going to play around with that. But so, Christy, tell me about your theme park experience growing up and what you equate theme park food with.
Okay. I didn't have a lot of theme park experience besides, you know, I grew up in Indiana and the closest theme park we had was Kings Island, which was in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is now, I think, Six Flags. So that was kind of, I went to Disney World once when I was like 8 or 9. So what do I equate? I never really liked roller coasters, but my mom and my brother love them. So I equate theme parks with being terrified most of the time because I was going on roller coasters that I didn't want to go on because my mom was a single mom. And so when we would go, we all had to go on the same rides because she couldn't leave one kid standing outside of the ride while taking the other one on. So I think I spent most of my time terrified at theme parks. And so therefore my stomach wasn't really great. So I equate theme park food with feeling pretty nauseous most of the time, which is probably why salt. Yeah. Like I remember like hot dogs, which are just kind of greasy and make you nauseous. I do remember in Disney World, getting one of those Mickey Mouse, like pretzels? Popsicles. No, oh, the popsicles yes. that had like the ears and everything.
Are you talking about the sandwich?
No.
It was actually the chocolate covered like yeah. Dove bar.
But yes, exactly. In Mickey form. I remember that. I remember loving that, of course. Yeah. Who doesn't? And I think otherwise, theme park wise, I'm always good for some popcorn. I'll always eat popcorn.
You do love popcorn.
You can't go wrong with popcorn, really. Even just when plain it's old bad, popcorn? It's good. I like all kinds of popcorn. All kinds. I never met a popcorn I didn't like. Between
kettle corn, candied corn. Kettle okay. corn, candied corn, uh-huh. cheddar corn, uh-huh. regular.
Okay, I'm going to go regular or cheddar. Always regular first, but then sometimes cheddar or a mix of the two. I don't really need, I mean, I'll eat the candied corn. Or the kettle corn. Kettle corn's better than candy corn, in my opinion. But I'll always opt for the other one.
Wild first. Card. Chocolate. Chocolate-covered okay. popcorn.
Well, then chocolate all the way.
It's so good, isn't
it? It's so good.
Why is chocolate-covered popcorn, like, the best thing ever?
Because it's the same thing as, like, chocolate-covered pretzels. It's that salty and sweet. And yes. you got the crunch yes. with the, like, melty chocolate. In fact, I make a really amazing white cheddar popcorn.
You do not.
I do. Do you? Have I never made that for you?
No.
I feel like I must have. In New York, I was like crazy about it. Okay, so it's you make popcorn, but you make it like kind of kettle corn. But I make it lightly kettle corn. So basically all that means is you have to have an actual popper, right? Mm-hmm. And when you put it in, you put a little bit of sugar in with it when you're popping it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you put
what
the oil.
What oil do you use?
I use coconut oil now, but if I'm doing something like that, I'll usually use like a canola or a lighter vegetable oil that doesn't have as much flavor because some people don't like the coconut flavor. Mm-hmm. So you put that in, you put the kernels in, and you put a little bit of sugar in, and you let that all pop together. Okay, and then when mm-hmm. it comes out, you lay it out on a cookie sheet, and you sprinkle it with salt while it's hot.
Yes.
Okay. Lay that all out. Then in a separate little pan, you melt white chocolate and you get it so that it's like nice and really melty. And then you drizzle it. Now, here's the thing. You can't just dump it because it comes out in glops. You've got to kind of like take drizzle. A spoon and drizzle it over the top and go back and forth over the cookie sheet like that. And then while the chocolate is still hot, you take shaved almonds and you sprinkle it all over
the
top.
I was not expecting us to go to the shaved almonds.
To the shaved
store.
Almonds. Shaved almonds.
Okay.
And then you drizzle that on top. Sometimes because, sometimes I do it for the holidays, I'll take like dried cranberries or something and put them in too.
Wait, didn't you say cheddar?
No, white chocolate.
Oh, okay.
I thought you said white chocolate cheddar.
No.
Okay. All right. This makes a lot more sense. I was like, when is the cheese coming in? When does that come in?
Did
now, why
I say
white
cheddar?
Chocolate and not dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Just because that's what the recipe said to do. But I think you could make it with milk or dark chocolate. I'm sure you could.
So curious if you did this with a dark chocolate, what that would be like. Like a more sophisticated grown-up version.
I think it would be good. There would also be, you know, then you could kind of do a caramel corn as the base instead of just a kettle corn. And that would be really good.
Mm.
I got this popcorn popper once from my college roommate called a stir crazy. Have you ever seen those?
I'm imagining a giant silver pot with a lid that has a candle on it that you're stirring.
Yes. Yes. It's very similar to that. And it comes I feel like because I might have had it when you knew me. It comes with a recipe book. Popcorn.
And that's what it
and that's what it told you to do. That's what it told me to do.
If I'm correct, white chocolate is not actual chocolate, right?
It doesn't have any
white chocolate. Is white chocolate chocolate? Tell me as I'm Googling.
I don't think it has any of the actual cacao bean in it.
It does not. It isn't. It says it's just cocoa butter mixed with sugar, often with a little vanilla added for flavoring. So that's not.
Oh, so even, it's cocoa butter. So it's
cocoa
like,
butter.
Yeah.
Just call it what it is. Cocoa butter. Cocoa butter with
cream.
Slivered almond popcorn. Okay, Christy. Rebrand this. See what happens.
I bet I could make a whole line of white chocolate products and just call them cocoa butter products.
Cocoa butter.
Cocoa butter chips.
Okay, before we move on to what I think theme park food is, tell me what your kids and your husband eat at theme parks, because I'm going to imagine it might be a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. So my husband, if anyone knows him, knows that he is very into his food. And
Jeff Meacham.
And he has favorites kind of everywhere. And in Disney World, he would be able to give you his favorites because he grew up down near there. But in most theme parks that I go to with him, it's always some sort of sausage dog. Always got to get the sausage dog. And pretzels. Pretzels are really big. The big soft pretzels
soft.
With mustard. Yeah.
Yeah. Those same with
ones.
Abe.
Yep. And then my kids, they have been to several theme parks. The one we go to the most often is Universal because it's right here. And theirs is the churro that are
there.
Oh,
yes. I do feel like a churro is equated with theme parks.
Mm-hmm. They're into it. And they like to get the big, long ones. And they want a couple of them, one for each hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Walking around with their churros.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't eat churros anymore, but when I did do a video called Foods at Disney that
I remember.
You must try for BuzzFeed. It was the best day of my life. I got to go to Disney World or Disneyland, and they walked me through the park, and chefs literally handed me fresh baked or cooked meals, and I got to eat them in places like the Haunted Mansion lawn, and it was just the best day of my life. Anyway,
they
gave me churros, and I remember spinning them like batons. Because they're so long.
They're so long.
What else do you do when you have something so long in your hands? In marching band, you spin it.
It's a baton. It's like the licorice that comes in the big ropes.
Yes.
They used to spin like lassos.
Yes. Yeah. But I will say, even though you didn't grow up going to theme parks, you mm-hmm. did grow up having fairs.
Yes, we did grow
like
up
county
having fairs. Yes.
Which
yes.
I remember something you and I did.
Yes.
Back when the Actors Diet blog was in full effect, mm-hmm. was we went to the LA County Fair together.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty fun too. They gave us a bunch of mm-hmm. deep fried foods. Do you remember they gave us deep fried Kool-Aid?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And
I do.
They presented us with those little pink balls that
yes.
were basically like Kool-Aid mix that had been deep fried, compacted and deep fried.
It was very, the texture was very strange. I remember that.
Yeah.
For fairs, my biggest thing is the grilled corn. Like on
you
a stick.
Like corn.
I mean, really, I'm a sucker for corn.
You like
corn. I'm a sucker for corn. Yeah. So those
Indiana
are
that's girl. My
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense to me. I'm not opposed to the deep fried thing. I think it's very fun. I like the idea of like, listen, we're going to a theme park. It's like a mini vacation, right? Mm-hmm. That everyone can play along with. Mm-hmm. And part of that vacation involves the fantasy of the food. And so the more outrageous, I do find it really like I'm into it. Mm-hmm. I'm into the idea of it. I unfortunately can't stomach it, but I kind of love that at Dollywood there was such an emphasis on food, and probably the most famous food at Dollywood is this cinnamon pull apart bread, which is kind of like, you know, monkey bread.
Yeah.
And they had it in loaves. So like you couldn't even just like buy a piece. It was like a communal experience. Hmm. You had to like buy an entire loaf. There was always a line. So we actually never got it because, as I said, we were with a 3-year-old and that just wasn't happening. And, you know, like, so it's like you buy it and then you have to share it with others. And I don't know. How lovely is that?
I think that's great.
How sweet and lovely is that to do that together and then ride a ride and feel sick together?
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a bonding experience. But they were really great about handling my food allergy. Mm. Even when I like walked up and I told him I had a food allergy, he changed his gloves, and he was the one who walked me down the line. It was kind of like a Chipotle type of like build your own burrito bowl kind mm-hmm. of situation. Sorry if there's like a loud noise outside my like I can hear the okay, it's just happening. Just so you know, leaf blower is here and it's happening. But anyway, I was really impressed. And but you know, to me, I didn't get to have any like quote unquote fun food. There right. is a fun food that I would have eaten had it not been, you know, December and cold, which is ice cream, which you mentioned, which I do feel like is like such a quintessential fair / theme park experience.
Absolutely.
Especially the soft serve, mm-hmm. you know, when it's like on a cone is like that, like that's, it could be the emoji for theme park.
I agree. I think and fairs and theme parks are the only time that I'll do like just a soft serve vanilla. Like if it's just regular life and we go to an ice cream store, I never get vanilla and never get soft serve. But at a fair, I don't need anything else but a vanilla soft serve. It's so good.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And mm-hmm. it's like they don't even need Jimmies or sprinkles or whatever you want to call them.
You
like,
call them
they
Jimmies?
Can just, I don't. I just have heard people say that. For some reason, I think it
that.
Might. I'm like, now I'm afraid that it might not be like culturally sensitive for some reason. Like, erase. No one said Jimmy's. I just heard someone say it. I never called them that. I called them sprinkles, regular sprinkles.
Yeah.
But anyway, the upcoming trip I have mm-hmm. going to Disney World. So I'm only joining for 3 days.
How many days are they there?
They're there like all week, but wow. I'm only joining for the Hollywood Studios. Is that what it's called? The Disney Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and and the Animal Kingdom.
You are going to have an amazing amount of food to try at Epcot.
That's what
There's
I hear.
So much.
And I know that they're very gluten-free friendly. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm almost like, okay, how do I pace myself? How do I want to do this? Do I want to make it, like, treat central? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to, like, be fueling my body so that I can actually experience things and, you know, have the Dramamine and whatnot? I am so sorry. This, like, loud-ass, like, leaf blowers, like, right outside my window right now. So that's what I'm trying to think of what to do. What would you advise as a holistic health counselor for my plans?
There's no good advice from a holistic health counselor for theme park food, but I feel like it depends on the day, right? And it depends on the on which park, because I think that Epcot is worth kind of just trying a bunch of things. You know what I mean? Like really just kind of going all out, because there's so many different options from so many different places, and it's so pretty to walk around there, and it's so cute, and you can have lunch here and you can get a snack there. So that would be the one I would kind of like really focus on. Animal Kingdom is we just went, everyone who's listening, my family just went this summer to Disney World for the first time. And we did those three theme parks. And Animal Kingdom, I will say the area that you eat in is the cool part. Like there's an Avatar area that's new that like the restaurant is obviously the restaurant is themed, but it's in this really beautiful kind of like forest creation. And that's a really fun place to go. I remember the food being pretty good, no specific dish that I would recommend, but I remember just the ambiance being great.
Okay.
You know, so okay. I think in that one, it's more about like the area you want to eat in and the theme that goes along with that area rather than maybe the specific food. But you'll be able to tell us when you get back more
I'm very
closely.
Excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see what ends up happening, especially since, and I have not told you this yet, but I may or may not, I'll find out later on in 3 hours, have to get a root canal.
Right.
In which case,
Soft foods.
So Dole Whip.
Yeah, lots
of Dole
Whip.
They do have Dole Whip.
At Hollywood Studios, they have Dole Whip.
Okay, this is good to know. I love Dole Whip. I can get Dole Whip here, but so I do. Maybe I need to do a little bit of research, which I have not done, about what is only available at Disney World that is not available at Disneyland, which is close to where we live.
Right.
That I'm not able to, because I can get Dole Whip any old time I want to go to Anaheim, and I have. And I love it. And it's one of my favorites. But like if there's something special there, like what if they had like whipped kiwi or something, you know?
Instead
like
of Dole Whip.
Yeah, I would need to get that.
You would.
And I would feel very silly not getting the special whipped kiwi.
I think you have to like look at each park specifically too and find out what's their specialty. But because I bet each park has its own specialty. I would say... Yeah. I would say as a health counselor, what I would advise is doing a little bit of research and deciding like what are the things you absolutely must try that feel like they're important to you, and then kind of centering the rest of it around it. And then just when you're at your actual meals, like try to make some smart choices in there. You know what I mean? Like try to feed your body a few vitamins and minerals to keep it going.
But maybe also, I can find we're talking someone 3 days. To share also.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
I could also be like, do one of you five nieces, nephews
want to split
the kiwi
whip
with me? And they're going to be like, what are you talking about? I'd be like, oh, did I say that out loud? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited and hoping that I'm able to chew, and will also bring my Dramamine and I guess some digestive enzymes as well, right?
You could.
Is that what I should be using?
Water. Drink a ton of water. Just drink water too. That really helps move things around. You're going to be walking a lot, so that's good.
They have like water refill stations. Is that the situation? I should bring my own bottle.
Bring your water bottle. They have water refill stations. Yeah. Just drink a lot of water and just don't.
I have a Mulan bottle. It's been waiting for this experience.
For this moment.
Yeah, for this moment.
What does this Mulan water bottle look like? Is it like have a straw and everything?
No, it's just a regular like steel like water bottle. I got it. It was swag from when Mulan came out.
Okay.
And it's been waiting.
It's been waiting.
I think it's a Swell water bottle.
I think you may have to invest in one of those ones with the big straw that comes up and like the big with the handlebar.
Yeah,
I think you may have to.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see. A camelback? Are you talking about like a backpack that I carry on me and just drink whenever I want to?
No, I'm talking about the one that comes with like the Mickey Mouse ears or the animal thing
that
you get there.
Oh, yeah. You know what? At Dollywood, they had these like souvenir cups where it was actually cheaper to
have the refills.
Have the refills from that. But then that's not drinking water. That's drinking Diet Coke, which also, you know, that may be my vice also of like just drinking nonstop Diet Coke when I'm on my trip. You know, like already I feel my nausea going away. I say those words like, oh, I could totally handle any 3D ride just like
with a Diet Coke.
Of Diet Coke like running right through me and I'll be just fine.
Oh, there's so many things to say about that.
Okay, I guess we'll move on.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, let's do our potluck dish. Yes. So we're going to talk about a food-related discovery that we're excited about. I'm going to let Lynn go first on this one because I'm still kind of deciding between a couple.
Wow. You brought a few things.
I know.
Well, I would say that in the last month, the most exciting thing that occurred was that I was sent this box of gluten-free, let me see, wait, it's gluten-free, it's vegan, what else? Queer woman owned.
Okay.
Free from dairy, gluten, nuts, gums, and preservatives. The company is called Super Bloom Bakery.
Oh.
Also Asian owned. So that's how I found out. Oh, sorry, alarm going off. So basically everything that they sent was like a loaf of bread, some bagels, some Togoroshi bagels. I think it's called Togoroshi. It's a type of, what's it called? Sprinkle, a type of seasoning.
Oh, yeah.
You can also, I had a sourdough and they're sweet, quote unquote, wow, sweet bread. And it is so good. I mean, like, you know, I, as somebody who has celiac, cannot really eat gluten-free bread from a regular bakery because what happens is I go in and they're like, oh, yeah, and we have gluten-free bread. And I'm like, yeah, in like the place where you have flour like flying everywhere, like dancing around in the air and in your ovens. And like, no wonder I'm like still getting sick afterwards. So this I know is completely safe. It's delicious. And I will say this about gluten-free baked goods. There's some that is just like disgusting.
Right.
You know, like you're like, this is cardboard and tasteless.
Right.
But when gluten-free bread is done really well, it's not, to me, it's not that it tastes just like bread. It's not like you like bite in and you're like, wow, I had no idea this was gluten-free because I don't think that's realistic. There's always like, especially if you're eating it on its own and not like with like in a sandwich or like dunked into soup or something like that. Like it's still going to, it's not like you have to think about it. When you take a bite, you're like, this is not wheat.
Right.
Like, right away. But when it's done right, there's like a nice, well, first of all, it's the flavor, right?
Right.
But also there's like a textural experience to gluten-free bread, which I think can be just as delightful as regular bread, which is like that bounciness, that almost like chewy like thing that you get from mochi and like marshmallows, you know, like there's like a bounciness. And I really enjoy that. Like I enjoy the feeling. So like they sent this stuff and you immediately freeze it. Right? Because you want it to stay fresh.
Right.
And then I will be toasting them off. And so when it toasts, I get like this nice, like crusty exterior, but the chewy, bouncy inside. And that's like delightful. So Super Bloom Bakery, it's not
Super
cheap.
Bloom.
I mean, again, I was sent it. So I did not have to pay for it myself, full disclosure. But you know, a dozen bagel box is $60 and a four loaf box is $90.
Okay.
And a single loaf is $25. So the more you buy, the more you save. But I kind of think if you know somebody who has a severe gluten allergy like myself and is vegan, this is a really thoughtful, wonderful, beautiful gift. And you're supporting some really wonderful people.
I think you got that right on. If you're hosting a special event where you know like there's going to be some people there who are gluten-free and you want to serve something for them that you know that they can feel good about eating, then it's worth the investment to to get that.
And how nice to be like, this is from a place where we know you'll be okay.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we got this from like Ralph's. Yeah. No offense, Ralph's, but I don't trust your gluten-free bread. I don't even know if they make gluten-free bread. But I would not trust that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't trust it.
Especially for somebody who has celiacs, you know what I mean, and who has a severe allergy, you want to make sure.
I don't trust Whole Foods with their quote-unquote gluten-free stuff because they have a ton of regular stuff.
I know.
So, sorry. I don't trust it.
It really is the cross-contamination that you want to be careful of because that can be that kind of annoying allergy that keeps irritating someone who has celiacs or severe gluten allergy. And I think I just wanted to go back to what you were saying too about the difference in the texture and how it's not wheat. I mean, here in the US, we're used to having wheat bread. That's what most of our bread and most of our bread products are made from wheat. But in other parts of the world, that is not the case. These are just, it's not that it's not bread. It's just using a different grain as the base rather than wheat. So that's going to give you a different texture, the same way that you wouldn't like eat brown rice and expect it to taste the same or have the same texture as quinoa. They're different, or oats. They're different grains. So you're going to get a different texture, but also you're going to get a different flavor. You're going to get different vitamins and minerals. So it's worth exploring, even if you're not gluten-free, exploring these different types of breads because you get
different
vitamins and minerals. And for kids as well, it's like you want to expose them to as many different flavors and textures as possible. And so that they don't grow up saying, oh, well, that's not bread or I can only eat that. You want them to try different things and know like, oh yeah, I really like that. And it's made with buckwheat. You know what I mean? Oh, I really like that. And it's made with rice, all that kind of stuff.
It does say on their website, super tasty breads with benefits.
Wow.
So
yeah,
I like this idea of feeding myself benefits.
Variety. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you ready to share your potluck?
Okay. So I wasn't sure if I should share this now because it's post-holiday, but maybe some people are like me and they love the smell anyway. But I always love the smell of like cloves and things like that over the holiday season and pine and sage and cloves. Yeah. Oh,
okay,
not clothes. No.
Cloves with a V, like not clothing that you wear.
Cinnamon, okay. Cloves.
Clean clothes?
You're like, wait, what are you saying,
like
Christy? Yes, I do like that too. Thank you, Lynn.
Okay, cloves.
But I came across this, I don't really like potpourri though. I'm not, and I like candles, but I always am afraid I'm not going to blow them out. So I came across this recipe and you make it in a pot on your stove and it has, hang on, I'm going to read it to you while we're here. And it has like stuff that's easy. So you just take, this has a cup and a half of fresh cranberries. Full disclosure, I did not have fresh cranberries, so I used a half a cup of dried cranberries. This has three tangerines. I've made it with tangerines. I've also made it with grapefruits because I had a bunch of grapefruit over the holiday. So I made it with grapefruit as well, and it was amazing. Whole cinnamon sticks, so three whole cinnamon sticks. You can put in, it's saying you can put in like star anise. Is that how you say it? A-N-I-S-E. Mm-hmm. You can use that. I did not use that, because it gives a little bit more of a licorice smell, but you can use that. A teaspoon of whole cloves, an inch of fresh ginger, vanilla bean or a teaspoon of the vanilla extract. And then you can use pine or you can use rosemary. I used both. And you
oil?
Put it, no, the actual like branch. So if you live somewhere cold.
You went and got a pine branch?
I did not use pine. I used rosemary. And no, I did use pine. But I got pine in one of those little like, arrangements.
If this had, you could have also gotten it from your tree, I'm assuming, if it was a living tree.
Yes, that's true. You can use it from your tree. I didn't have a living tree, but I got mine from like an arrangement, but I used rosemary and I have a rosemary bush. So in the future, I'd probably just use that. Go out and clip that. You put it on a pot on the stove and cover it with water. And then you just bring it to a boil and then let it simmer. And it makes the house smell amazing.
Wow. The entire house?
The entire house. Well,
it reaches every
crevice.
Depends
how big your house is. My house is not that big.
I also think it's hilarious that you're afraid of a candle burning down, but you're not afraid of a boiling pot filled with things simmering all day. Just wanted to point that out.
But like the stove is something that I will go and check, but a candle I'll forget. Like if I light a candle in the bathroom, then I'll just forget it as I'm walking out. But the stove, I'm kind of religious about checking it. It's like a little OCD thing. So I will shut that off.
You know, if you turned off all the lights in your house and only worked by candlelight, you wouldn't forget. I just like really am pushing the candles.
You really are pushing the candles. I'm going to make you this to put on your stove. And then I want you to try this and a candle and tell me this is better. It smells better.
I bet it's better. I actually did order, sidebar, mm-hmm. from I think it's the Brooklyn Candle Company, mm-hmm. a few of their holiday scents because mm-hmm. they were on sale mm-hmm. for next year or just now. One was a fireplace Great. Smell. And one is a pine smell like you're talking about.
When you say
bit.
A fireplace smell, I'm a little bit, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be good. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know.
But it was on sale and there was something where it said like sitting by a crackling fire that I was like, sold. $20? Sold. So we'll see what happens. But okay. I do think that this does sound great, but unlike you, I'm never walking by my stove, so I'm afraid I'm going to walk by and there will be like dried burnt bits
there
of
will be
pine
if you leave it
and rosemary and clove sitting on my – and like having ruined my like Le Creuset Dutch oven pot.
I think
on top of my stove.
But you're like, you like to get up in the morning and have a cup of tea and like have some reflective yeah. time. Like just
That's
imagine
true.
You like throw in, like you have an orange and you're like, oh, I'm not going to eat this before it goes bad. Just slice it up, throw it in there with
like
some cinnamon
idea.
And clove.
I do like that idea.
And a
I
little
did have
bit
a
of
a few pomelos that were going
there
bad.
You go. And a yeah. little bit of vanilla and then throw in just like, you know, some, you do you have a rosemary plant?
I do.
So
in the back.
Throw in some rosemary. And then by the time you're sitting down to journal, your house smells amazing.
Question.
Yeah.
Do your cats, because you have cats.
Yeah.
Do they like get up and like stick their noses in the pot or anything? Do they do that?
Not anymore. Because, well, one of them died.
All right.
And then the other one.
So
it's not funny.
Obviously not. I'm sorry.
It's not funny. The other one's 18 now, so she doesn't anymore. Actually,
no,
Jeff was just saying
no
that
sniffer.
The other day. Yeah, she can't get up on the counter and get back down
oh.
anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
She's good and bad. You know,
I'm
good
sorry.
Because obviously she's not on the counter. Bad because it's, you know, one of those. Remember when?
Well, back in the day, do cats do that? Do they smell food?
Cats are smart. They usually don't go to, at least mine never went to the stove. They would get up on the counter. Like if you left like chicken or salmon out on the counter, they would jump up and eat it for sure. But they never really went to the stove.
Got it.
Plus, I don't really think they like cloves and rosemary. And
I mean, who knows? Catnip. I have no idea what's up with
That's
cats.
That's true. I guess if you boiled some catnip, they might like it.
Also, you would not think that a dog like mine would like little pieces of styrofoam, but
that's true.
Obsessed. He's obsessed with it. He loves just sticking his mouth in inedible places. It's quite entertaining sometimes, but also distressing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think we have hit exactly where we need to hit time-wise
Perfect.
For
okay.
this podcast. So I will just remind everyone to email us with any questions or comments. You can do that at actorsdiet@gmail.com. We want to thank Go Nakamura for the theme song. You can check out more of his music at gonakamura.com. Christy, tell people where they can find you online.
Where they can find me online? Oh, I wasn't even expecting this. I'm on Instagram at christymyersla.com. I'm truth be told, very, very bad with social media, but I will try to post a picture of my mom and the noodles there if you want to go
oh,
check
great.
That out.
That is great. I'm going to hold you to that. Hopefully by next month, there'll
yes.
be that recipe
be
up
that.
There.
That's right. And you can also, my website is www.howtochow.com.
that's great if people want to work with you and talk to you more about nutrition-related things.
That's right.
And I'm just at lynnchen.com, where all the social media things that I do are there. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next month.
Bye.
Bye.